focus now towards the new expropriation bill, which has been submitted to the National Assembly on the 9th of October already for approval. I earlier got some legal insights around this, caught up with Burton Mayer.
Yeah, that's correct, Job, one of the directors in that department.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Joining us in conversation this evening is Burton Mayer, Director of Dispute Resolution at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, to unpack the expropriation bill, why the state doesn't have carte blanche on the matter, and what constitutes a public interest. Burton, good evening, and thank you so much for your time.
Yes, you're welcome.
I'm led to believe that the expropriation bill has been through quite a few drafts. The final draft, which followed the cabinet approval on the 9th of September, I believe, has now been submitted to Parliament. It was also certified as constitutional by the Chief State's Law Advisor. Is that where we are currently in the process, Burton?
Yes, that's correct. We are at that stage in the process. They've obviously now got to start the public participation process and invite, you know, public comment in regard to concerns with the bill. And after that, we suspect that there may be a few changes to the bill and resubmission basically for approval by Parliament and eventually consent by the President.
This particular draft version of the bill, what are your thoughts on it? Does it alleviate some of the earlier fears from the previous drafts?
Yeah, certainly it does. I think the fear and the concern was really just a carte blanche authority on the state to, you know, acquire land for no compensation. And that's clearly not the case. You know, there may, in due course, be constitutional challenge, but one would have to see how that plays out. But at this stage, you know, although the bill does provide for no compensation, it has certain grounds that are applicable and gives us an example of certain grounds in when the state will acquire land for no compensation. I must say one of my concerns when I initially read the bill was the fact that in that particular section of the bill it says including but not limited to, and so it does create an open door for the state and for the expropriation authority, as referred to in the bill, to basically then rely on other grounds to justify why no compensation should be paid for the land that they wish to expropriate. So one will have to see in due course how that plays out. But for now, if one looks at Section 12.3 of the bill, there's only really five grounds that they are looking to rely upon when they want to pay no compensation for land that they want to expropriate.
Do the courts have a role to play in this around no compensation, for example, if there is some objection to no compensation for land expropriation, as an example, Burton?
No, absolutely there is. And that was one of the things that kind of gave me some hope in regard to the bill, because there's a process that has to be followed. There's first, in terms of Section 7, a notice of expropriation or a notice of intention to expropriate, in which then the state will invite, you know, the owner of the land or the owner of an unregistered right to put to the state an amount that they would want for the land, obviously justified. And that's another aspect of the bill that I really like, is that it's not a carte blanche, well, I'm going to give you a figure that I think the land is worth. It is actually based on reports, valuations of the land. And obviously then the state will respond when they receive your indication of what you want for the land. The state will then respond and say, well, I'm prepared to offer you X. And hopefully the parties, being the expropriating authority and the landowner, will be able to come to some sort of an agreement. And that, in fact, I think it's Section 2.3 of the bill, actually says that the whole purpose is for the expropriating authority and the landowner to reach an agreement. And there is then a process that follows after a notice of intention to expropriate, which is then actual notice of expropriation. And if at their death the parties are not able to reach an agreement as to the value, well, then the courts are then approached either by the expropriating authority or by the landowner to then determine a value for the land. And that is great in terms of the legislation. I think that is certainly equitable, and it creates an opportunity for these kind of disputes in regard to land value to ultimately be determined by the courts.
It does sound like it can become quite a protracted process, though.
It is, yeah. I mean, just in terms of the commencement of the litigation is a period of 6 months. And that's just the start of the litigation process, and then the process unfolds in terms of normal court process. And I suspect that it would more than likely be by way of what we call action proceedings, summons, as opposed to motion proceedings, which is applications, which is a lot shorter. And so you could end up being in a dispute in regard to compensation for 2 to 3 years, depending on how long the process runs its course, the availability of courts, the availability of counsel, and I agree with you. It can take quite some time before the matter is actually finalized.
Is that a cause of concern?
Well, it is a cause of concern because of the way in which the bill is currently formulated, and I suspect that there is going to be a lot of objections in regard to certain aspects of the bill. And let me just mention one of them is that there is a provision in the bill that says that ownership of the land is deemed to be on the date of the notice of the expropriation, which is in terms of Section 8. So as soon as the state gives its notice of expropriation, that is the date of the expropriation, and then they're deemed to be the owner. But, you know, with all the rights and not all the responsibilities in regard to the land. So whilst you're still having litigation in regard to the value of the compensation, you're not the owner anymore, and you then have to incur an inordinate amount of money on legal costs whilst you're deemed not to be the owner. The second difficulty that goes with that is that there is a registration process that is envisaged in the bill but not spelled out in any detail that will have to happen. And I would prefer that the legislature actually says that ownership will pass on registration of transfer, as is the normal case in the Alienation of Land Act, and that's not provided for in the bill. The second big issue is the fact that in the notice of expropriation, in terms of Section 8 of the bill, the state specifies a date of possession. And so it says in the notice, I will take possession of your land on X date. And it's only from that date that rates and taxes, consumption charges are payable by the expropriating authority. And only then does the landowner no longer have that obligation, despite the fact that the property may still be registered in the name of the landowner. And so that's a huge difficulty with the way in which the bill is formulated. And that is further compounded by the fact that what happens if the state or the expropriating authority doesn't take possession of the land on a particular date, and the landowner has vacated that land with the view to the state taking occupation, then who is in possession? Then who is liable for the rates and taxes? Because no one's in possession.
Mm.
So it just creates a lot of difficulties in terms of administration, in terms of financial implications. And if one just followed the tried and tested conveyancing practice of ownership and possession, it invariably happens with registration of transfer, we'll alleviate a lot of our problems in regard to this bill. And so the bill is not as invasive in terms of just acquiring land arbitrarily. There are a lot of aspects of this bill that need to be addressed and hopefully will be addressed in the second round.
Does it meet the constitutional requirements?
Well, it is certainly in terms of expropriation with no compensation. It is potentially open to constitutional challenge because Section 25 of the Constitution specifically says that no one can be deprived of property, particularly not arbitrarily, and that it must be for compensation. So that may potentially be the first challenge in which they say, well, the Section 25 of the Constitution provides for compensation, and that doesn't mean no compensation. Compensation means monetary value or, as has been the case in certain case law, payment in kind, whatever that may ultimately mean, but it envisages compensation. Now, one must always measure any provision of the Constitution against Section 36, which entitles the state to limit that right in an open and democratic society where it's just and equitable to do so. So one can say, yes, well, it would be just and equitable to do so in certain circumstances, and then no compensation should be allowed. So I can see that playing out in the constitutional framework, and that being the subject of future constitutional cases and one of the issues that will be raised. But that said, when one looks at both the Constitution and the current bill, they speak the same language. And they say that when I expropriate your land, whether for value or for no compensation or for no value, there must be a public interest and there must be a public purpose that is being pursued. And the Constitution allows for land reform and for the allocation of the country's natural resources. Those are the two main areas where the public interest and the public purpose is being served. And so, you know, those are the kind of things that we're going to be looking at when we deal with the constitutional challenge. But if one looks simply at Section 25 and the bill and excludes Section 36 of the Constitution, this bill is certainly open to constitutional challenge.
Must the expropriation authority determine the public purpose or public interest as you describe?
Well, it certainly has to be one. It certainly has to be something that should be recorded in the documentation that is filed. But my concern with the bill is that the challenge in regard to the expropriation is limited in the courts to the determination of compensation and what that value of compensation should be. However, the court has an inherent jurisdiction, particularly the High Court, and I suspect that the courts will still pronounce on whether the acquisition of the land is for a public purpose and in a public interest. And ultimately, if the court were to take that into account and ultimately decide that this isn't for a public purpose or in the public interest, I suspect that that will certainly find its way into the courts. And it'll be interesting to see in due course how that is dealt with.
Burton Meyer, Director of Dispute Resolution at Cliff Dicker Hofmeyer, joins us this evening in conversation on the Honest Truth. The expropriation bill, Burton, I see, has also replaced the Restitution Act of 1975. Is that an important development?
It is an important development from the perspective of creating a clean slate, and starting afresh. But it does create the added difficulty of the fact that you don't really have anything to go by in terms of precedent of case law where that kind of issue was dealt with before. And so you have guidance from the way in which previous legislation was dealt with in the courts because you've got a new bill. And one would have to see how the courts deal with that. But I suspect that to the extent that there are provisions that are similar in the previous legislation, certainly case law that has dealt with those issues will be used when there's any disputes in regard to the new legislation and this new bill. So there are the pros and cons in regard to that aspect of the matter.
Apart from some of the administrative challenges that you had pointed out earlier, do you feel that the bill can be practically enforced in its current form?
I think it's going to be difficult to enforce it in its current form. From the administrative perspective that I've mentioned.
Yeah.
But I think if one looks at the principles in terms of expropriation of property, I think that it certainly is a great start. And I think if a few things are ironed out, we can certainly have a bill that is workable and that will be in the interest of both landowners and the expropriating authority.
Do we have international examples of expropriation bills, and are we able to learn lessons from other territories who've gone through or are going through this process?
Well, I think our neighbor that we can learn from is Zimbabwe. However, I haven't looked into any of the legislation in regard to that aspect there, but I think that is certainly a starting point that we would want to have a look at in terms of how was it addressed, in our neighboring countries, and can we learn anything from them? What are the pros and cons of the process that they went through? I mean, they're now in a process of redistribution of land, which is kind of at the end on the converse of what we're going through.
Yes.
But I think certainly there are lessons to be learned from what our neighbors have done and to make sure that we don't make the same mistakes.
Yeah, and is the bill necessary?
Look, I think it's necessary from the point of putting the debate to an end and having certainty. I mean, one wants to ultimately have certainty in regard to what land expropriation is. I think a lot of people have been nervous in terms of, well, what is this all about?
Yeah.
And, when are we going to reach finality in regard to the debate? And so I think when one has legislation, one certainly has a starting point that people can work from. People are there, their fears are allayed, and they have certainty in terms of what the legislation is all about. And one can then enforce that legislation. And then we would then get into the constitutional debate and the constitutional applications to say, well, this provision is unconstitutional, that provision is unconstitutional, and we can then move forward. But I think as long as we don't have any legislation in place, we're in limbo. No one really knows what their rights are, where we're going, and it does create certainty, and I think that that is a huge benefit for landowners and for the state.
Burton Mayor, Director of Dispute Resolution at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyer. Burton, appreciate your time and your insights on this matter. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, no, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Now, what's this? Yo, Deco Fern.